And let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and our minds this morning be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The saints are not remembered because they had perfect faith. They're remembered because, despite the darkness, they still believed. When kingdoms rose and fell, when their names were forgotten by the world, when grief clouded their eyes and injustice shouted louder than hope, they still believed. That's what makes a saint. Not their certainty, but their stubborn trust in a God who raised the dead. Luke tells us that when Jesus began to preach, he looked out at a crowd of poor, hungry, weeping people. People without land, without power, without much of anything to show for their lives. And he said, "Blessed are you. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are the hungry. Blessed are the weeping. Blessed are the hated." And it really is one of the strangest things Jesus ever said, because we all know how blessing usually works in this world. Blessed are the secure. Blessed are the healthy. Blessed are those whose children succeed. Blessed are those with enough money to breathe easy at night. But Jesus reverses it all. He blesses the ones who are barely holding on. He calls holy the people this world forgets. He says the reign of God is already theirs. And there's something of that in Daniel's vision as well. Remember, Daniel lived in a world where beasts, empires rose from the sea. He saw power as something monstrous, devouring the weak, trampling the earth. And yet in that nightmare, he saw a promise. The holy ones of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess it forever. Daniel saw what Jesus announced, that the last word belongs not to the empire, but to the saints. Not to the ones with armies, but to the ones with tears. Not to those who take, but to those who trust. We tend to think of saints as people who glowed in stained glass, those distant haloed figures from long ago. But the saints are nearer than that. They're the ones who kept faith when it cost them something. They're the ones who loved when love wasn't returned, who forgave when bitterness would have been easier, who looked at the cruelty of the world and said, "Nevertheless, if you say so, Lord, we'll try again this week." Their stories aren't triumphs of perfection. They're stories of grace under pressure. Like the prophet Micah said, they did justice, they loved kindness, they walked humbly with their God. And when they failed, and they did, they rose the next morning and tried again. That's what holiness looks like in human form: persistence, humility, mercy. Paul's letter to the Ephesians names what the saints already know, that we've been given the immeasurable greatness of God's power at work within us, the same power that raised Christ from the dead. And that's not just poetry, it's a reality hidden beneath everything that we can see. The saints live from that power. They trust that resurrection is stronger than ruin, and they believe that the kingdom of God is already stirring beneath the rubble of history, even when the evening news tells them otherwise. And so Paul prays that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. And that's the prayer of All Saints' Day, that we would see not just with our eyes, but with our hearts, open to the power of God, moving through suffering and transforming it into life. If you think about it, the Beatitudes aren't a list of instructions. They're a revelation. They tell us how God sees the world. When God looks upon the poor, God doesn't see failure. When God looks upon the weeping, God doesn't see tragedy. When God looks upon the persecuted, God doesn't see victims. God sees beloved ones, heirs of the kingdom. Which means All Saints' Day isn't just about those who have gone before us. It's about who we're called to become, people who live as if that vision really is true. But Jesus doesn't stop at the blessing. He turns and says, "Woe to you who are rich, woe to you who are full now, woe to you who laugh now." He's not condemning joy. He's warning us how comfort can dull compassion, how abundance numbs our need for grace. The woes are a wake-up call for those of us who have grown too comfortable to need God, because saints are not people who never have. They're people who never stop needing grace. And then Jesus continues and says something no one asked for: love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. And this is the heart of sainthood, to bless what seems unblessable, to love the ones who do not love you, to embody mercy in a merciless world. And every saint has had to learn that lesson, not in theory, but in practice. And it's the hardest kind of faith, not the faith that moves mountains, but the faith that forgives the people who put the mountain in your way. Paul once wrote that Christ emptied himself, took the form of a servant, and humbled himself unto death. That's the shape of the kingdom Jesus describes here. It's humility that conquers pride, mercy that undoes violence, love that defeats the grave. The saints mirror that shape. They live cruciform lives bent toward others in compassion, even when the world bends toward self-preservation. And that's why the church calls them holy. Not because they were flawless, but because their lives became windows through which Christ's light could shine. And maybe that's where the mystery of All Saints touches the ordinary. Because sainthood isn't just about heroes of faith. It's about proximity. It's about love that stays close. Many years ago, when I was in college, I traveled to Rarotonga in the Cook Islands in the South Pacific. And I remember walking through the small villages and seeing something that I'll never forget. Their loved ones were buried right in their front yards. Not hidden away behind iron gates or stone walls, but close. Close enough that memory shared the same sunlight. Close enough that the spirit of those they loved remained part of the daily rhythm, the laughter of children, the passing rain, the meals shared at dusk. Life and death weren't two separate worlds. They were neighbors. And I remember thinking, this is what the communion of saints looks like. Not a faraway crowd in heaven's gallery, but the company of love that refuses to leave us. The presence of those who have gone before us, still shaping who we are becoming. Maybe that's why the church calls this day a feast. Not of absence, but of nearness. And maybe that's why Jesus calls the poor, the hungry, and the weeping blessed, because when you live that close to loss, you also live that close to grace. When you remember the ones who've gone before, you begin to see that heaven has been leaning towards you all along. Their love doesn't stay in the ground. It becomes part of the air we breathe, part of the prayers we whisper, part of the courage we find to love again. And that's really the mystery of All Saints. We don't just remember the dead, we live in communion with them. The living and the departed, all gathered up in Christ, all held together in the love of God, that nothing, not even death can undo. And so when we gather today, we're not talking about ghosts from long ago. We're talking about family, those whose faith still feeds ours, those whose prayers still echo through our lives, those who whisper courage when we're afraid. And we light candles not because they were perfect, but because the light of Christ once burned through their lives and still does. The same Spirit that sustained them is at work in us. When you forgive someone who doesn't deserve it, when you show mercy in a cruel world, when you hunger for righteousness in a cynical age, when you believe resurrection is possible even now, you join their communion. You become, by grace, one of the blessed. So may the eyes of your heart be enlightened. May you see what God sees. May you feel the nearness of the saints, those buried close, those whose love still guards your doorstep. And may you know that you belong to that great company, those who have loved much, wept much, hoped much, and never stopped believing that love wins in the end. Amen.